Oh, good start. Good morning and a very warm welcome to our morning worship service here in St Matthew's. Special welcome is extended to any friends or visitors worshipping with us this morning. We hope everyone will feel at home and welcome in our church family and that you find our worship to be meaningful and uplifting. Tea and coffee will be served in the hall after the service and everyone is invited to go through and share in a short time of fellowship there. Just a couple of reminders and the annual pack testing of all the electrical items in and belonging to the church will take place on Thursday, that's this Thursday coming, the 6th of February from 8 o'clock in the morning a.m. Anyone who has any electrical item at home, please ensure it is left in the office on Wednesday evening, the 5th, and would all leaders of organisations ensure any item they may have locked away, ensure that everything is left out. And a church magazine, all contributions for the March edition of the magazine should be given to Faye by Sunday the 16th of February, that's 2 weeks today, or earlier if possible. And thanks to all who supported the Scottish Bible Society concert in Motherwell last night. The total raised for the project Children at Risk in Lima, Peru was £650. And that's from Alison Murray. And these are all the intimations. Thanks.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you. Good morning. And welcome to worship this morning. We are gathered together. We lift our voices together. We pray together. We praise together. We are one in His Spirit. And in this oneness, we come to Him to seek His presence and to seek His power. And as we do, we know that we, as the Bible tells us, are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. So let us live in that way. Let us acknowledge that we are more than conquerors. There is nothing this world can throw at us. There is nothing this world can confront us with that cannot be defeated. All things are possible to God. So let us praise Him. Let us lift up our voices with the words of our opening praise. Faith is my shield and shelter. Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning,
and welcome into church today. Welcome into the family of faith. All the family gathered together here in St. Makin's to worship God and to learn of His love. Now, as you probably remember and know, I have a lot of strange things and unusual things lying about my office where I do all my work in my home. Things like somebody that was in church last week. Can you remember who it was? Who was in church last week?
Kevin
was in church. You'll never forget Kevin, will you? We'll never forget Kevin the Minion. He was a bit naughty. He wasn't doing as he was told when I was pushing the buttons, was he? He was supposed to go out there in the church, but he didn't make it, did he? He didn't get him as far as I think the third line of seats. I think that was it. But I thought I'd show you something else on the screen. I didn't bring it because I might have lost it and it might look awful small. Something else that I've got in my office. There are two things that I have in my office that never ever go away and never change. I've always had them there for almost 20 years. Minions come and go. All sorts of ornaments come and go. Books come in and books go out. All sorts of things happen and they flow in and they flow out. They appear one day and sometimes they disappear the next. Well, the chocolate bars do anyway. Things like that. But these are two items which have been there constantly for 20 years. That's why I haven't brought them. I've left them in the office. So this is the first one and it's rather unusual. It's a very strange thing. That's the front of it on that side and that's the back of it on that side. You can't quite see it very clearly. The screen's a wee bit bright today. What does it say in the middle of the bit on that side? It says first. It's a little sticker that's tiny. It can't be any more than a few centimetres across square. A little sticker that says first. And it's got a wee cup and a laurel leaf, as they call it, in the middle of it. And on the back of it, it says, I'll read it for you because you won't be able to do that. I'll read it from here. It says, Bervie Primary School, Sports Day, 20th of June, 2000, and the name Mark. That's my son. And it says, first, Buffalo team. When you do sports days at your school or nursery, do you go into teams? Yeah. You sometimes go to teams, yeah. He was in a team in his primary school, and he won first with his team at the sports day, 20th of June, the year 2000. And that sticks with blue tack above my desk where I work, and it's been there for almost, as you can see with the date, almost 20, in fact, is it more than 20 years? Do the master maze, is it more or less? Round about 20 years, just coming up. 20 years this year, is that right? Thank you, Kissing. 20 years this year. That's a long time, isn't it? Now, I was there when he won this. Now, I want you to use your imagination. None of my family have ever, 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 ever won anything at sports. When I say never, ever, 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 ever won anything at sports. Have you ever won anything for doing something good at sports? Yeah. Well done. Oh, thank you, Moira. Yes, you did it. Well done. I'm sure quite a number of you have. But none of my family have. My son has done something that I couldn't do. I've never done. So maybe that's why I've got it in my office. I'm really proud and pleased. Now, when I saw him getting this and winning this, how do you think I reacted? What do you think I did? I cried. Well, yeah, I might have done. What do you think? I shouted and screamed. Now that's getting closer to the truth. Now imagine the playground in that particular primary school. He wins this along with his team, gets presented with this. And I didn't care that there was other mums and dads about and teachers, the head teacher, and I'm the chaplain of the school. And I'm going, yay! Have you ever won anything and gone, yay? Well, sure they have. I'm sure family has done it for them as well, hasn't it? At times. What's that? Were you? You got lots of it. Wonderful. And I'm sure people were cheering for that. Wonderful. Nobody would hold back for things like that, would they? Now, before I show you the second item that's always in my office, I thought I'd tell you a little story. I support a certain football team. I'm not going to tell you or say names or anything like that. It doesn't matter. It's only that's separate to the story. I support a certain football team. Now, I'm not a real fanatical fan. I've only been, I guess how many times I've been to see them at their football ground? Once. You were being generous to me by saying to you, only once, and that is because I got free tickets. My friend, my son and I got tickets to a cup game at this big famous football ground, and my team were playing. And we went to it, and during the first half, my team scored a goal. How do you think I reacted? What do you think I did with my son and my friend? How do you think?
Yeah!
Excellent. Were you there? Were you watching me? Were you there? But all three of us leapt to our feet. We were sitting down and went, yes! Wonderful when your team scores. Have you ever done that when somebody you're supporting scores? No, you don't watch football. Well, another sport. You ever done that? Yeah, maybe sometimes you've done that. Excellent. Now, half time came and went. Second half in the football game. Guess what? The best thing ever. What a drink happened. My team scored again. It turned out to be the winning goal. What do you think I did? No, I didn't. I didn't do that. What do you think? No, it wasn't the same one, so I'll put you out of your misery and tell you. What I did was, the three of us stayed in our seats, we looked at one another, and we just went, yay, like that, and didn't say another word, didn't make another noise at all. Now, that's strange, isn't it? Would you like to know the reason why the first goal we went, yay, and the second goal we went, yeah. I'll tell you why. I didn't tell you part of the story. Me, my friend, and my son, our tickets were in among all the fans of the other team. Behind the goals at one end of this famous football ground, there was the three of us wearing a certain colour of scarf in among 5,000 to 6,000 people wearing a different kind of colour of scarf. Now, if you've been watching the highlights on television that night after the game, it would have looked very interesting, because when the first goal went in, three little blips in the middle went, yay! And nobody else moved. But when the second goal went in, and my team were victorious, I just went, yeah. We just looked at each other and glanced. We were even too scared to look at each other or move too much. I was put off because of others around me. Something so important, a wonderful victory to celebrate, and I didn't, because I was scared of what others might think, who were all round about me. Oh, yes, I wasn't like that. I should have been like that. Yes, you're right, Imogen. Yep. Now, that's the first item, because my son did something that I could never do. Now, the second item that's in my office has been there for over 20 years now, and the two of these are the only things I can think of that never change. Are always there. Is this, and what's that? That's right, not the actual one, but it looks like it, possibly something like that. Right, it's a small one. It's only about that size, that across the way, like that, about that size. It never moves. It's always there, because it reminds me that Jesus, the Son of God, did something that none of us could do. He won a victory for us upon the cross. He died to save us from all our sins, and he rose again to life that we would know life forevermore. It's the greatest victory of all time in anything. In life, it is the greatest victory ever. Now, I'm a supporter of Jesus. Are you a supporter of Jesus? Yes. Are you a follower of Jesus? Are you supporters and followers of Jesus? Yes. Excellent. That was a right answer. Excellent. Now, compare my reactions to the goals. In response to the victory of what Jesus has done for us, do you think I should go, yeah? Or do you think I should go, yes? That is the right answer, because it is the greatest victory, and Jesus has shared it with all of us. Sometimes we can be scared of what others might think. We're a wee bit shy, aren't we? And the grown-ups know what this is like. And when we're younger as well, we can be shy. We don't really want others to know that we're a follower or a supporter, and we keep it quiet. But it's such a wonderful thing that Jesus has done for us. We shouldn't be keeping it quiet all the time, but should celebrate. Celebrate and shout and sing. So we're going to count down from three and give you an opportunity All right, we're going to shout out hallelujah in response to the victory that Jesus has given to us. Are we ready for this? Oh, you're suddenly going like this in your seats at the back there, right. Are we ready for this? 3, 2, 1, hallelujah! Oh, full marks to the children. Excellent. 0.001 to the adults in the back there. We'll try this one last time. This is the greatest victory ever. This is like Scotland winning the World Cup at football. 3 World Cups in a row, multiplied by 100 million. It's everything you can possibly imagine. So we'll shout out, hallelujah. 3, 2, 1, hallelujah! Excellent, excellent. That maybe wasn't so easy here in church today, was it? How do we get on when we're out there? Let's try and not be so silent about our Saviour when we're out there. Well done. We're going to sing a song that helps us to celebrate the victory. A wonderful song. I couldn't think of a better one because there's lots of actions. Just like I was doing when the first goal went in. Lots of actions like that. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Let's sing this together through twice. Well done indeed. Well, I hope that song continues to ring in your hearts and in your minds when you go through to Sunday Fun Club. And I hope it echoes in all our hearts today. We have the victory in the name of Jesus. Go and enjoy that victory and go and share it with others. Thank you for joining us here today. Enjoy the rest of your day. Perhaps most of you at the back couldn't see, but some of the children were getting quite enthusiastic about singing that song. Little Imogen in particular was dancing round in circles. And I was just looking at her thinking, Lord, what happened to me? How did I lose such innocence and such zeal and such joy? How do we lose these things as we grow up in the faith? We should be becoming more and more like that, perhaps. Perhaps that's the way things really are really meant to be. After all, Jesus took children like these, placed them in front of his disciples and said, the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. There's a message in that, a very powerful one, I think, for all of us. Let's come to the Jesus who blesses children, who blesses us, who welcomes us with open arms of love today. Let us join our hearts together in prayer. Let us all pray. Father, in the stillness and the quiet of this hour, we have this opportunity simply to focus our minds and hearts and our spirits upon Thee. Help us, Lord, as we still our minds. Help us to be still and know that You are God. Help us to be still and know who we are in your sight. Precious, loved, beloved, children of your care, children who receive your compassion, children whom you provide for, children whom you heal, children whom you lead and guide and care for, children whom you take under your wing and comfort and restore. Children whom you lead as our shepherd, guiding us and guarding us and leading us away from the difficulties and the dangers and the paths that lead us astray, and leading us on the narrow way, the way that leads to life. Almighty God, we thank you that today we are your loved children. Help us, Father God, to know that to the depths of our beings. May it break down the barriers. May it break off the chains that bind us, that restrict our joy, that restrict our expression of our gratitude, that dull our spiritual senses, and turn that glorious victory song into a whisper at best, and so often into silence. Almighty God, forgive us, we pray, for the times when we should have said, when we should say about the victory of Jesus in our life. Forgive us, Father God, for the times when we should say about the victory of Jesus over all enemies, even death itself. Forgive us, Father, for the times when we should say to ourselves and to others about the love of Jesus that knows no bounds. The love that is big enough and strong enough to carry us, to cope with all our sins and transgressions, to cope with all our troubles and all our woes. Oh, forgive us, Father, for the times when we should say about Jesus and his love. Open our minds. Open our hearts. Open our arms to embrace others. Open our voices to sing and to say the greatness of our God today and always. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us now as we worship you, as we open ourselves to you, as we come before you as your children. Wayward, yes. Wandering, yes. But finding our way back to you, who are the way, the truth, and the life for us. Bless us now in this time that we share together. For we ask all of this in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord, who taught us when we pray together to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's now hear God's holy and everlasting word of love.
Good morning. The gospel reading this morning is from John 15, verses 9 to 17. I love you just as the Father loves me. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My commandment is this: love one another, just as I love you. The greatest love you can have for your friends is to give your life for them. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because servants do not know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends, because I have told you everything I heard from my Father. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear much fruit, the kind of fruit that endures. And so the Father will give you whatever you ask of him in my name. This then is what I command you: love one another.
Second reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 12 and 13. What we see now is like a dim image in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. What I know now is only partial. Then it will be complete as God's knowledge of me. Meanwhile, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Amen, and may God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Moya. Thank you. Let's again lift our voices in praise to God. We sing, Greatest Spirit, Holy Ghost. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We begin today with a whole series of questions. Now, these are all questions I have personally been involved in or come across in recent weeks. Now, I would like you to listen very carefully, because afterwards I'm going to ask you two questions about the questions. Gets complicated, doesn't it? Firstly, I'm going to ask you afterwards, what have all these questions got in common? Then I'm going to ask you, which one of these questions stands out as unique and different from all the rest? Are you ready? And that's not the first question, by the way. Are you ready? Here it goes. Who is next in the queue? Who's going to pay this bill? Who on earth am I going to vote for? Who's going to wash all these dirty dishes? Who forgot to put the bins out? Who's going to win the Football League? Who's going to come out on top in the Six Nations Championship? Who let the dogs out? I almost added a woof, 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 woof at the end of that one. And I did hear this recently. Who loves your baby? Who loves your baby? And now, last, but believe me, certainly not least. Who broke their promise not to mention Christmas until July at the earliest? And now for my question about the questions. What have all these questions got in common? Very simple. The first word of every one of them, who? They all begin with who, which means the answer is going to be a person or perhaps a group of people. Who makes the answer personal? Now the second question about the questions, which one of these questions stands out as unique and different from all the rest? Anyone know? Did it jump out at you when I was reading through them? Anyway, now, I have a choice here as to what clues I give to you. And the choice is, I stick a lollipop in my mouth, or I shave off all my hair. Who loves your baby? Who loves your baby? Who loves you? Now, I don't know if Kojak, or should I say Telly Savalas, the actor, I don't know if he knew when he made this his distinctive catchphrase in the TV cop show way back in the 1970s. It's a long time ago, isn't it? The 1970s. I don't know if he knew or realised just how unique a question it is. It's a who question. So the answer is personal. Who loves you? It's a person that's the answer. But it's unlike all the other who questions in life. Every who question, including this one, who loves you, everyone can have a whole list and a whole amount of different names that they might give as an answer. I'm very fortunate that all of us here, there are people we can list. We could list everyone in our family of faith to a certain extent. A whole list of different names as an answer. Different depending on who it is that is asked the question. But this who question, who loves you, this question has the quite unique and incredible potential to have the exact same answer from the lips and, more importantly, from the heart of every single person on the planet. I don't think any other who question has ever or shall ever have such a possibility, such a potential, such a power. Such is the nature of love. Such is the eternal nature of God's love for each and every single one of the people he has created. Who loves you? Universal answer is, of course, God loves you. You know, it's why John chapter 3 verse 16 is such an often repeated Bible verse, because it answers this question, who loves you? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. It answers that question. Such is the eternal, everlasting, unending nature of God's love for me and for you. Who loves me? Who loves you? With one voice and one heart, we can all answer, God loves me. Jesus loves me. You know, love is the last word. Love is the lasting word, eternal and victorious. We've been on quite a journey, a long journey again, in our passages in the Bible. And we've come to the final phrase of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And our journey of love through the 13 verses of this wonderful chapter. Like the physical beating heart in our bodies, God has given us in 1 Corinthians 13 a picture of the spiritual heart of love that beats within the body of Christ, that beats within every single Christian, every follower of Jesus is the beating spiritual heart of love that beats to show the world that we have life, true life. As Jesus said in John 10:10, I came so that you might have life, that you may have life, life in all its fullness. 1 Corinthians 13 shows us what fullness of life looks like, what a strong spiritual heart looks like. Just like a physical heart, our spiritual hearts have four chambers that work in unison and in harmony, which circulate that special, unique love, the Greek word agape love, all round the body, all round the church, and through the body of Christ, his church, all around the world. That special love, agape in the Greek New Testament, a unique word concerning God's love for us and God's love beating in us and flowing through us for others. Jesus says in John 15:12, my commandment is this, love one another just as I love you. And as we come to the final phrase, 1 Corinthians 13, at the end of verse 13, we discover that love, agape, is quite literally the last word, the lasting, eternal and victorious word. The final word on everything. Everything. And the greatest of these is love. Now in every single translation, including the original Greek translations that I've come across, love appears as the last word of the verse, as the last word of the chapter in every translation. And last words are so important. They can be so meaningful. Last words can say so much about us. I read about Peter the Great, the Tsar of the Russian Empire, the instigator in his time of many social and political reforms. His final words in 1725 are said to have been, give back everything to. Give back everything to. And then he breathed his last. You know, if he had finished that sentence before breathing his last, who knows what the history of the world might have been like? It might have been changed completely. Some commentators have called him the composer of history's greatest cliffhanger. Give back everything to. To whom? To the people. My goodness. Who knows what would have happened? The great comedian, Bob Hope, his final words are said to have been just after his wife asked him where he wanted to be buried. She asked him where he wanted to be buried, and Bob supposedly said, surprise me. Surprise me. James W. Rogers, a convicted murderer about to die by firing squad, was asked there when he was standing at the front of all the guys with their rifles, asked if he had any last request. And his final words were, yes, bring me a bulletproof vest. General John Sedgwick of the Union Army during the American Civil War, when inspecting his troops at the front line and being warned by one of his officers to keep his head down, his final words were, they couldn't hit an elephant at this dist. And that was it. They couldn't hit an elephant at this dist. And use the imagination of what happened next. You know, whether we think we are a czar or a general, a criminal or a comedian, I wonder what our last words shall be. Will they be unfinished? Will they be humorous? Will they be defiant? Will they be even, perhaps even arrogant? No matter what my final physical words may be, I have the blessed assurance that God has and will have the final say over my life. God has the final word for me and for you. And his final word for us is love. It's love, and it will always be love, today, tomorrow, and forever. God's last word over your life will always be love. And the greatest of these is love. Why is it the greatest and final word? Well, perhaps because of this. That's something you don't see every day. This is the Greek letter eta, with what they call a little breathing above it. And when it's pointing in that direction, that means you've got to put an H kind of sounding breathing at the beginning of saying it. If it goes the other way, you don't put a H in front of it. It's the opposite. You don't do a H at all. So it's pronounced hey. Simple to remember, isn't it? I usually spell it when I'm writing in English, H-E-Y, just to remind me. It's pronounced hey. It appears in the final verse of 1 Corinthians 13, and it makes all the difference. The simple letter, the simple word, hey. To quote a song that I have been known to sing from time to time, certainly in the house, I wouldn't dare sing it anywhere else until today. But I'm not going to sing it, I'll read it out. Don't worry, you don't have to put your earplugs in. What's the matter, you? Hey! Gotta know respect? Hey! What do you think you do? Hey! Why you look so sad? Hey! It's a not so bad. Hey! It's a nicer place. Oh, shut up in your face. You recognise the song? I'm desperately trying to remember the name of the guy that sang it, but not to worry, somebody will enlighten me at the end of the service, no doubt. You know, it's the hey that transforms everything, that changes what is actually, if you think about it, a very cheeky and challenging lot of lyrics into something funny and light-hearted. Just try saying it without the hey, and you'll see what I mean. It can very quickly turn quite negative and dark. This hey, in 1 Corinthians 13:13, it transforms everything to a whole new level, because it is simply the Greek word the. That's all it is. It's simply the Greek word the, and it's placed right before the last word, agape, love. Now, you're thinking, you read that earlier, where is it? It's no there. It's not there. You're not seeing things. You don't need to go get your eyesight checked. It's not there. Hey. Unfortunately, this is missed out in about 95% of English versions of the Bible. And I don't know about other languages as well, but certainly in English it's missed out so often. And we've come across this before. It's a peculiarity of Greek that they don't have a word for ah. There is no word for ah in New Testament Greek. English has it ah as an indefinite article, they call it. Ah. But the New Testament Greek, it may not have an ah, but it has 26 or 27 different forms of the word the. The definite article, as it is called. English only has the one, the. This means that when the Bible, the New Testament, is translated into English, the translators end up throwing in a whole bucket load of as to make it make sense in English. But at the same time, they also miss out a whole load of this in their eyes to make it make better sense. Now, Paul didn't always put a the hey, in front of agape. Rhymes a bit, doesn't it? Hey, agape. He might have done it to rhyme. He doesn't always put the in front of agape. When he wrote 1 Corinthians 13, in some of the verses, he does put it in front, and in some he doesn't. In the very previous phrase, meanwhile these three remain, faith, hope, love, there is nothing in front of the love. There is no there. But here at the very last word, we find not love, but there. Love. And the greatest of these is the love, is the love. You know, it may seem like nothing. Well, let me put it in this way. It could be everything. Another who question, which was heard in my house just a couple of days ago. Another who question. And this is the question. Who ate the fig roll? Who ate the fig roll? Not who ate a fig roll, but the fig roll. The last one of my favourite biscuits. The one I had hidden away carefully out of sight in the dishes cupboard where I thought nobody would look. The fig roll, the definite article, the one I had been saving for my tea break that day. Do you see the difference? Do you see the emphasis? Definite, not indefinite. When Paul puts the definite article, hey, in front of agape, he does it deliberately. The love he is speaking about is not just any love, not just a love, it's the love. The love. It's the love of God for us that is the greatest. It's the love of Jesus for us that is the greatest. It's God's love that is the greatest. Therefore, not just the greatest of emotions, but even more than this, the love that is the greatest of actions. Jesus says, John 15, 13 and 14, the greatest love you can have for your friends is to give your life for them. And Jesus goes on to say, and you are my friends, if you do what I command you. The greatest love you can have for your friends is to give your life for them. The love of Jesus, who laid down his life for us on the cross and won the victory over all our sin for you and for me. The love of Jesus, who was raised to life from the grave and won the victory over death for us, for you and for me. Victory is ours through him who loves us. Not just the emotion, but the action. The greatest emotion, the greatest action together. Who loves you, baby? Who loves you, baby? Who loves you? It's a unique and very special question for a very unique and special day. Did you know that today was a very rare palindromic date? That's something you don't hear every day, isn't it? A very rare palindromic date. 02/02/2020. 2nd of February 2020. A palindrome is something which is the same backwards as well as forwards. You're now sitting there going, 0202, and you've got it in your mind, haven't you? And you go backward and find, oh, wait a minute, it's 0202/2020, the other way round. Now, there are palindrome dates in our calendar from time to time. They do come about from time to time. But this particular one today is extra special because it's for the whole world. For the first time, wait for it, for the first time since the 11th of November in the year 1111 AD, for the first time in over 909 years, the whole world, no matter how they write their dates, whether it's day, month, year, month, day, year, or year, month, day, no matter what system they use, it will appear as a palindrome, the same forward or backward, no matter how you write it. Today. So make the most of it. Get your pens out when you go home and write the date as much as you can, because tomorrow ain't going to work. It won't work again until something like the year, the 3rd of March, the year 3030. I wonder how many of us will be around then. 3030. So on this unique and special day, when asked that unique and special question, who loves you? Perhaps it deserves a unique and special response and answer. Not a secretive, shy, silent, and almost inaudible, Jesus loves me. He, like I was in the football ground. How should we respond? How should we answer? The Jesus who loves us, the Jesus who has won the victory for us. Surely not with silence, but with a resounding hallelujah that resounds and echoes in all our hearts. Till our very last breath on earth, till our very first sight of heaven and forevermore. Surely this question deserves the greatest of resounding responses from you and from me. For God has the last word of love over us, and it's a victorious love that has won the victory over sin and the victory over death for you and me forever. Amen. And may God hear that resounding response to that question, who loves you? May he hear a resounding response more and more and more. Let us sing together once more. Though I speak with the wisdom of angels and men.
I know all the future of the land.
Let us continue to worship God through the giving of our offering. The offering shall now be uplifted.
The prophet wrote, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Let us pray. Lord, every day we experience your endless generosity and forgiveness, your everlasting love, and your mercies that are new every morning. Our gifts, our talents, all our possibilities belong to us only because they come direct from you. Help us not to belittle these gifts of yours, not to bury them, but rather use them to make you better known to the people of our community and to the people of the world. When we share the Bible with others, we show them who this generous, spacious God is. We invite them to experience how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to discover you for themselves. Lord, please accept these our gifts, given in praise and thankfulness, and direct their use that they may glorify your name. Lord, at this time of new beginnings in our country, we ask that you will guide the leaders and politicians of all parties to work together to unite our country and to improve the lives of all the people. We pray, Lord God, for your church throughout the world, that it may share to the full in the work of your Son, revealing you to men and reconciling men to you, that Christians may learn to love one another as you have loved us, that your church may more and more exhibit the unity which is your will and your gift. We pray, Lord, for the church here in St. Makin's. We ask for your inspiration and guidance for Alistair, the elders and leaders of all the organisations. We thank you for the new hope you bring to our lives at this time of year. Though the people and situations that surround us are ever changing, we know that your love is constant. We pray for your Spirit to guide us in your vision for our lives, our community, and our world, and ask that you keep our footsteps firm on the ground, ever strong and faithful. We pray for those who are persecuted for faith and conviction, those who are imprisoned, tortured, raped, and dispossessed. Lord, may they know your loving presence with them in their suffering. Help and strengthen them, Lord, so that they may hold out to the end and by their loyal witness draw others to you. Lord, there are many who work to alleviate this suffering through charities such as Christian Aid, Tear Fund, Leprosy Mission, Barnabas Fund. Please guide and provide for them that they may reach out to more and more of those in pain. We pray for the poor, the hungry and thirsty, those without homes or shelter, those who are ill but have no access to doctors or medicine, and those who feel unloved and unwanted. Lord, may they know your loving presence and provision in their lives. We pray for those who are ill in hospital or at home, for those who await a doctor's diagnosis or an operation, for all who seek healing and hope, for those in mourning, may they know your loving, healing presence in their lives. We pray for those who day and night maintain the public services, for the police, for those who respond to emergencies, and for all whose work is in health or healing or social care. May they be guided by your loving Spirit. We pray for our young people, growing up in an unsteady and confusing world. Show them that your ways give more life than the ways of the world,
and that following you is better than chasing after selfish goals. We pray that more young people will be encouraged to come along to the Sunday Fun Club and all the other youth groups. We ask your help and guidance for those involved in working with young people. And Lord, we ask that your Spirit will bring forward more people willing to give of their time and talents to work with our young people. Help us to treat all men as neighbours, whether or not they are of the same colour, whether or not they belong to our nation, whether or not they share our political views. Above all, help us to experience your love for us, that we do not need to seek for the recognition and praise of men, but may know that love is all that matters in the end. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Faye. Thank you. So often it seems to me that the victories in life are so few and so far in between. But the truth of the matter is, the last word of love that God has over all of us is that we carry by the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ His victory in our hearts every single day. I am not defeated. You are not defeated. We have the victory in the name of Jesus, that risen, conquering Son. Endless is His victory that He has won even over death. So let's end our service today with a positive note in our hearts, with voices that sing as if we believe it and mean it. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory Thou or death hast won. Let us sing. Now let us go as a victorious people in the love of Jesus. Go into the world to conquer all in His name and to bring all into that wondrous eternal love. And as we go to do so, may the love of Jesus surround us and secure us. May He be with us by the power of His Spirit this day and always.